Join me as we pray again. Father, thank you. Again, now as we come to this point in our service where we have the privilege, Lord, to study and look into your word. And as the promises in Scripture sound true over and over and over again, we celebrate that this morning. And Father, I pray that as we read this passage, as we study this passage and sort of glean from it the truths that you have for us today, I ask that you would open our hearts as well as our minds. Help us, Father, to be changed, transformed by not only your presence, but your presence in the way that it conveys these truths found in your holy word to us today. I believe any time we come in contact with your spirit and the teaching of your word, there's a change, there's a lesson, there's something to learn. And so my prayer this morning is that our hearts would be settled, that our focus would be tuned towards you, and that you would guide us in this time. I pray for maybe the non-believer that may find themselves here this morning who has never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I'm sure as we talk about discipleship and the essence of what true discipleship is, it's going to seem confusing to them. But my prayer in the midst of all of that discussion, that what they would hear is that Jesus loves them, that God has sent Christ to die on the cross for them, and that it's not just a simple decision that is made on a Sunday or in a service, but it's a life-changing decision. And the good news is we don't have to worry about changing ourselves. It's God through the work of the Holy Spirit that changes us. And so I pray they would hear that this morning, and that if you've led them, that they would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior today. Father, I pray for the believer this morning who may have been struggling in their walk and in their faith journey and uncertain of what you're doing and why you're doing certain things, and they just feel, Father, vulnerable and weak. My prayer this morning, Lord, is that they would see and sense and hear the power of God's truth in this promise that we find in Scripture. And that, Lord, you would help us to find our strength in you and to look towards you to guide us as we grow and live in sometimes this difficult life. Lord, you guide us today. You bless the reading of your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. This morning I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. And you'll see on the screen we're going to look at verses 23 through 27. And the title of our message this morning, as you might have picked up in my opening prayer there, is Real Discipleship. Now, I'm kind of going back to my college days and my studies, and when I did my doctoral work, every time we would study something, there was always a professor that would say, you need to make sure that you define the terms first. You can't talk about something if you don't know what it means. So let me go there first and define discipleship for you. Now, this is my definition. This is a definition that I have sort of gleaned through the years of study, and so you may not like it, you may not agree with it, but it's the one we're going to use today, all right? So discipleship is defined this way, okay? Listen, it's not complicated. It's learning to be what God created you to be. I mean, that's discipleship. I mean, we can open up books, we can study about all of the different processes, we can talk about what discipleship is and maybe what it is not, but in reality, if you take all of that stuff away, you get down to the core essence of you learning to be what God's created you to be. Now, if we think about that, that cannot happen until you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, I don't believe that you can fully begin to grasp or understand the truths of Scripture or God's purpose for your life outside of the saving knowledge of who Jesus is. And I hope you understand that. Because the problem in the church that we find today is that we are more about the spectators and the passive sort of people who sit in the pews and less about the active participation and the process of change that God does. And in sort of the world that we live in today, and just think about this. I mean, the church has changed enormously, even since I entered ministry, okay? And some of you have seen changes and things happen in the church that even the church that your grandparents probably went to is not the church that we go to today. And I would even say some of your parents were part of the church in a very different way than what we see today. And the problem is that we've lost that essence of hungering for that change. It's more about what entertains us. It's more about what makes us feel good. It's more about the things that helps us to do what we want to do instead of the investment and understanding what God wants to do through us. And so as we talk about this morning, we're going to go to a passage where it's probably one that most of you know. It's one where Jesus makes that promise. It's really a charge, if you will, about taking up your cross. And this is one of those places that Jesus seems to sort of take away all of the muck and the religion and the processes and the rituals and all of the things, and he gets sort of down to the core of what it really means to follow Jesus. And so as we look at this morning, I want us to read through this passage, and we're going to read verses 23 through 27. And then we're going to come back and look at the question, how do we seek real discipleship? Now let me say this before we even read this passage. God gives you a hunger. I believe you're born with that. But when you come to know Jesus, that hunger to know God changes. Okay, it's not the same. He's not just something that sits on a throne. He's now something that you know in a personal way. And so the only way that desire to know him more stops is when you start letting other things in your life interfere. Could be a job, could be a problem, a habit, it could be something else that is keeping you away from hungering for God. I mean, it's almost like the human development. Some of you teachers have taken ample classes in human development. I mean, a child grows and you don't have to tell a child to eat or breathe or drink water. They just do that, right? Because they're created to do that. And we as humans were created in the image of God to know him. And when we're not in a right relationship with him, then we no longer have that desire. So when we look at the title of this message this morning and the question that we're sort of searching for, I want you to put aside all of the things that we may think discipleship is, or what others may tell us discipleship is, or what others may show us what discipleship is, and we go back to the truth of what Scripture says, of what real discipleship is. And the seeking of it is really your responsibility. As your pastor, I can't make you hunger for God. As part of this church, that doesn't just by membership put you in a position to where you're automatically going to hunger for the Lord and want to grow deeper and learn to be the way he created you to be and how to operate with all of the things that he's gifted you with. That is something that you have to decide to do. And when Jesus makes the statement here in this passage, and it is prophetic, by the way, because he's saying this before he goes to the cross. And he commands us, as you'll note, to take up our cross. I mean, he really is saying, and in the emphasis there, as we'll read it in just a moment, is daily. You got to choose every day. You got to wake up this morning and tomorrow morning and say, Lord, put me in a place to where I'm not distracted, to where I can focus to be what you've created me to be. And then you've got to do something about that. I used to laugh at students who would study for exams and really struggle with the fact that they actually had to do something. They almost believed if they put their book underneath their pillow, then somehow, supernaturally, through osmosis, they were going to learn that information. Unfortunately, many believers are that way. You may not put your Bible under your pillow, but you put it on your shelf and you believe through some kind of wireless technology, God's going to just give you all of the things that you need to know. You got to spend some time in his word. You got to spend time hungering and using the gifts and the talents and the tools. And listen to this, the people that God has put around you. And he does. And we'll look at that this morning. So let's start reading verse 23 as we'll read down to verse 27. And then we'll come back and kind of backfill to answer that question. How do we seek real discipleship? Verse 23 says this, "Then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me." Now listen, I know I say this often. If you don't underline, that's fine. But if you underline in your Bible, you need to underline that and maybe even double underline that. Especially terms like daily, take up, and follow. Those are keys. And we'll come back and look at those as we study this together. Verse 24, he goes on, "If you try to hang on to your own life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but are yourself lost or destroyed?" Verse 26, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Then verse 27, could be a little confusing. It's really not. He's talking about the church here when he says this, I believe. I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the kingdom of God. Now, when we begin to look at this, and I don't want to get lost in some of the particular statements, but I want to come back and look at this sort of through that bigger lens. How do we seek real discipleship? And there are four things this morning I want us to sort of hone in on and focus. Number one is this. You'll see it on the screen. Church membership and church participation. That's how we seek discipleship. That's one of four ways we find. Now remember, Jesus is talking to the disciples along with the larger crowd. Now some of us may not realize he had the 12 disciples, but he also had people that were in a larger sphere that followed him around. From day one to the end, they followed. They just weren't part of the 12. And then he has the crowd. That's even the bigger fringe, sort of listening to these things. In this statement, he says he turns to the crowd. So this is something that was to all of those that were gathered. Much like we are today. There's some of you I know that are believers. There are some of you who may not be. But there's a truth in the fact that Jesus is declaring that we understand the importance of being together. That we understand the importance of membership and participation. Now, key word here, and I want to focus on this because I want to help, and that is the word participation. Listen, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again, and maybe some of you don't like this. Church membership is a lot more than where you just have your name listed on a roll, amen? It's a lot more than where you just may come on Sunday morning and sit. I want you to think of the word participation. God never designed the church community to be a passive body for you. You're not here. I hope you're not. You're not here because you're entertained. You're not here because you like our blue ceiling. You're not here because you like the music. You're not here because you like the people. Now, all those things aren't wrong, but you should be here because God has drawn you to be here. And the key word there is participation. You won't get the fullness of what it means to be a part of a church community if you're not participating in the work that God has in that church. And I believe he's called every one of us to be a part of this church. Whether you're a member or a regular attender, he has called you to be a part of this faith community. And part of the discipleship process, go back to the definition, being what God, learning to be what God has designed you to be, part of the process for that, and one of the tools that he uses in that is the faith community that you're a part of. And listen, as a pastor, I've seen that take place this weekend. I mean, pouring love out to families that are in need right now. Finding ways, maybe you don't have the words, but just your presence, your phone call, the meal that you cook, the prayers that you lift up. Listen, that's part of being a part of a faith community. And that impacts. In fact, people on the outside of this church are shocked by the commitment that this church has in loving one another. I've had that said to me this weekend, that people are shocked. I don't see churches like this anymore. It's hard to see when churches actually do what they are supposed to do. And that's just the mark of a healthy church. It's not based on the numbers. It's not based on the size of your facility or the niceness or whatever. It's based on what's in the hearts of the people who are a part of that church. And we are fortunate to be a part of a church like this. Amen? And we need to understand that when we are called to be a part of a church, we're called to participate and be part of that. And you have done that, some of you. Most of you have. But it's much more than just when there are needs. It's also praying for your church. It's being a part of your church, committed to being present with your church through the good times and even sometimes through the difficult times. And so when we think about the modern church today, it disturbs me sometimes when we no longer sort of understand the importance of the commitment to the local church, being a part of that. In the good times and in the bad times. But understanding that God has created us, listen to this, to be a part of the church. He has. I mean, it is. It's, you may not think of it this way, but when Jesus is walking on the earth, he is training his 12 disciples. Now, he was full aware of what Judas Iscariot was going to be. But even in that, he trained them to go out. And the commands that he gives them is to go out and build that church. In fact, it's Peter. And just in the preceding verses that we find Peter asking questions and Jesus asking questions of Peter that sort of relate back to Peter's role. In what would become the first century church, and even still today, what we see is the importance of the church. So listen to me. True discipleship, if we're going to look for real discipleship, then we must understand that church participation, being a part of a community of believers, is essential in that process. And let me warn you here, that the process of growing is not always orchestrated in a program, okay? It doesn't happen. I remember this, some of you do too. We had discipleship training at 5 o'clock on Sunday nights. And a lot of people thought, well, that's when discipleship. No, that just may be where we come together as a community. Others may think, well, discipleship happens in Sunday school. Well, it can, but it's much, much more than that. I like to think of it really as life living with life. It's living life with other people. And some of those subtle ways that people begin to be used by God to teach you things. I've been, obviously, preparing funerals for this week. And I'm taken aback by how much of a presence these men have had in this church. And the things that they've taught most of you, and me included, that never were in a formal way. It was just them living their lives. Listen, that's what discipleship is. It's loving people enough to come alongside of them and just be what God has designed you to be. And some of those ways, being able to sort of help people and direct them. That leads us then to number two. And this is the second way that we find, really, I think, as Jesus is helping us sort of expose what real discipleship is. And it's number two. You'll see it on the screen, and that is serving God and telling others about the gospel. Again, you were created to grow deeper in your faith, but you're also created to serve Him. I mean, the whole Great Commission is built around the idea that we're going to go and we're going to tell. And so a foundational point for you as a believer as well as a church is that we are always about serving the Lord by telling others the truth of what we know. And unfortunately, sometimes in the church today, we take this for granted. And there's even persuasions of belief who say that only certain people will be able to receive Christ. I don't buy into that. I believe that if you've been given blood and life and breath in your body, then you have the ability to know who Jesus is. And so we must tell. We have to tell. And it's not just with the words of our mouth, but it's in the actions of our daily life. But we serve the Lord, and we tell others about Christ. And that always has to be one of the foundation of our church and what we do. And as we think about discipleship, as we learn to be more what God's created us to be, a lot of that learning is learning how to serve Him with the gifts and the talents that He's given you. And I believe every single one of us as believers have spiritual gifts. Probably some of us have more than one. And God has created you with the personality and the experiences and the passions and the gifts that He's given you spiritually, all to be used in a perfect way for His kingdom. And that has to include, as we've said, serving Him and serving others, okay? We've seen that this weekend. But also in telling others about the gospel. And you may not be one that God necessarily is going to lead to walk on your neighbor's porch and knock on their door and share the four spiritual laws with them. Maybe that's not you, okay? But God has gifted you some other way to be able to share His love and His truth. And it may be you're there to pray for somebody. It may be there to support someone who feels led to go to that doorknob. Or it may be that you show them through the actions of just being a loving person and a good neighbor and showing them who the Lord is in your life. But also helping them to know where that comes from. See, that's another thing I think sometimes in our world today. We've fallen into this, I think, false narrative that the world really isn't interested in God. Let me go back to what I said earlier. I believe every human is created with the desire to know God. I just believe that. Sometimes it's stifled. Sometimes all of that focus is put into wrong things. But we are created, I believe this is as surely as I stand here, we are created with a hole in our life that only God can fill. And we can go about drugs and other things and habits and things like that to plug that hole, but nothing will ever plug that hole but God. It's a perfect puzzle piece. And so really, when we begin to go out into the world, don't buy into what the devil's trying to convince us of, is that we'll offend people if we tell them the truth. They don't want to know about Jesus. We don't want to drive them away. Listen, if we tell them the truth, then leave that between them and God, whether or not they're going to accept it. And if they get offended by that, I'd much rather them be offended by the truth of who Jesus is and me being able to tell them than me sitting back and being worried that I may lose a friend or offend a neighbor because I'm not willing to share that truth. And that's part of the problem that we find in the church today, and maybe why we have such struggles in losing America for the kingdom of God is because we're not as proactive anymore. I mean, I remember the days, and some of you may too, and I'm not that old, when we had visitation on Monday nights, and this wasn't just going out and handing out Bibles. I mean, in my church, it was about coming back and reporting how many people did you share the gospel with. And it was about just walking up to strangers' doors. We would never do that today. Probably we think we'd get shot or something today, but you just walk up and knock on the neighbor's door or whoever and start telling them, hey, I'm from such and such church, and I'm here to ask you, if you died tonight, do you know that you would go to heaven? I mean, it was just a different world. And I'm not saying we need to go out and do that, but we need to find ways to come alongside people and effectively do the same thing. And that may be that person at work that you work with, that person's office that's next door to you, that neighbor that you've been praying for, asking for God to give you the opportunity to, and let me say this, organically sort of come in and start building that relationship. I will tell you this, the world has changed. And more often than not, people's guards are up. But what we find over and over and over again in studies and research is that people's guards come down when they see you as someone that they can trust or a friend or somebody who's done something for them. And that's why I love what our church does. We'll go out and help folks. We'll go build things. We'll do things. And that then gives us the right to be able to show God's love and share that truth with them. And so people are open to that as long as we kind of come along and we're not, because the world's full of all kinds of false prophets today. And so people immediately sort of put those guards up. But through your relationship and your love, and I don't think you have to look very far. God's already put people in your life who naturally are already there for you to share that truth with. And that then leads us to number three. We've said, how do we seek real discipleship, church membership, church participation? Number two, we said serving God and telling others about the gospel. And number three is this, a willingness to grow and be changed. Now, I know that's sort of a base of what we're all talking about when it comes to discipleship. But the word here that I want you to think about is willingness. There's another word I want to give you, and you can write this down. It's teachability. If you're here Wednesday night, we talked about that a little bit. We've got to be teachable. And we need to understand that the lessons that God may teach us that will help us to learn to be what God's created us to be, discipleship, okay? Sometimes those come in ways that maybe we're not expecting it. I've learned a huge amount of lessons from my children. Now, I don't know that they're aware of that, but they've taught me a lot about God and His love and His unconditional love. As a father, I'm now beginning to grasp, and I've got Bailey's turning 22 Wednesday. I can't believe that, but she's turning 22. And so in all of these years, I'm still trying to grasp the width and the depth of God's love for me as a father. And here I've been a father for 22 years, and I'm still trying to figure that out. God reminds me on a constant basis of what His love means through my children. God teaches us through sometimes the most unsuspecting things and people. Sometimes it's through tragedies. I believe that. Sometimes it's through the difficult parts of life. God will teach us those things. But what we've got to do is choose to be teachable. And this is something I really believe. Anytime we come sort of that crossroads. And you'll know what those are. It could be you have something going on in your life, you have a chapter change, something, but we come to those crossroads where I believe God is trying to teach us some kind of lesson. Sometimes you'll hear this called life lessons. And we have a choice. Are we going to accept that or not? And if we don't accept that, then I believe that it doesn't go away. God will find some other way to teach that. And I look at my life and I see there are times where I wasn't teachable. And about something particular. And then God causes something else to come along. And He continues to patiently do that until I finally figure it out. And sometimes I'm hard-headed. I know it's hard for you to think of that. But sometimes I'm hard-headed. And so it's like, well, that's what you've been trying to teach me all this time. If I just realized that in the beginning, I probably could have spared myself all of this sort of suffering and pain and uncertainty if I just accepted that lesson. It's all about being teachable. And it's a difficult thing. It's difficult to be teachable, but we must always look for those opportunities in which God is going to grow us. And with God's growth, listen to this, always change happens. That's how you know it's true growth, because change always happens. And I believe that, and we've got to allow God to make that change. And it all begins with that desire to be able to figure out and learn to be what He's created us to be. But we've got to be teachable. And then we come to the fourth one. And that is this, and you'll see this one on the screen as well. Investing and helping others in their spiritual growth. This is what's so unique about discipleship. As we're being discipled, learning to live the way God's created us to be, learning to be what He's created us to be, we, as we're learning to do that, are helping others learn to do that. It's a very cyclical thing, and it takes the community to do that, and that's the way God has designed it. As we may be getting changed through discipleship and the learning process, then we have something now to begin to deposit in others. And listen, the next generation and the generation after that, the church, and if you look at the Old Testament, you see the generations and the way that they sort of were planted, and they had the responsibility to now begin to rear and grow the next generation in the faith. And then that generation, the next generation, and it just sort of continues. And when you look at a church, the age of our church, you can see that through the years. I mean, I've been here long enough. I've heard of some of the great sort of icons, and I believe we've lost two of them this weekend, by the way, that were used by God to shape a next generation. And listen, I just feel like I need to say this. It's time for certain people in this generation to step up, okay? It's time for us to understand the importance of what has been built by so many before us, and now God has given us the responsibility as this current, present generation to now invest in the next generation. And if we don't see the importance of that, then we're going to begin to suffer as a church. I believe that. And I don't believe that God will bless us in what we do if we're not invested in the spiritual journeys of those to come. And I'm thankful for our young people. I love them all lined up in a row here this morning. What a blessing that is. But you know what? When I look at these faces, I see responsibility on you and me. I do. And let them find in us godly men and godly women, people who are godly moms and godly dads, godly businessmen and godly teachers. And whatever it is that you do, you have a responsibility within the walls of this church, right? To invest in that next generation, to make sure that they know those truths, they're being trained, that we're investing whatever it needs, the resources and such, to be able to help them to be the adults that God has called them to be. So that this church continues and continues to impact and change the world around us. And listen, that's why it's important that we understand the church, we understand discipleship and the change that takes place in our life. Let me pray and then we'll have our invitation. Father, thank you this morning again for this word. And there's so much here. I mean, I feel like we've only scratched the surface of this passage. And I pray, Lord, that as we continue as individuals seeking you, that you would help us to begin to really grasp hold of what real discipleship, true discipleship is. That, Father, tomorrow morning when we wake up, that you would help us to just sort of expose that hunger and that thirsting for you. To be able to spend time, that's quality time with you. To be able, Father, to make deposits in those around us and helping them grow to know those truths. Maybe you're going to put someone in our path tomorrow that you're going to very clearly tell us that we need to share your love with them. Maybe even share the gospel with them. Whatever that be, help us to be willing to be that tool and that instrument. And I believe, Father, that as we do that, we actually begin to grow even more because we're actively doing the things that you've called us to do. And I don't always know how that works, but it just seems to be the testimony of my life and so many others. And so, Father, I pray for the believer this morning who may have been confused, uncertain, maybe not invested in what real and true discipleship looks like. I pray that you would stir their heart this morning. Father, I pray for the non-believer here, as we've said in the beginning. In a congregation this size, there may be some here who've never truly accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, we want to invite them. We're going to have a time of commitment and invitation. It's not designed to put anybody on the spot. It just simply is there to give people an opportunity to be able to make that decision and to make it publicly, I believe, in accordance to what we learn in Scripture. So, Father, you guide this time. Whatever decisions need to be made, we commit to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?